Welcome to the LifeCast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Listen, I got to tell you something before I bring the scripture to us this morning. You know, last Sunday, if you weren't around, we had a special guest, Heart of the Father Ministries, and obviously prayed for the sick and those who need healing and deliverance and all of that, the ministry of the gospel of the kingdom, ministry of Jesus. And so when all of that was over, I was in here with Doc Nichols in the sanctuary, the two of us, and I spoke with him, and he knows... you know, my past with that accident from falling 20-some feet out of a tree some years ago, that along with it came some lingering effects, some physically. And so I had him pray for me. And I know that some of you have prayed for me off and on. Some of you are faithful in it. Some of you come up and ask, you know, Pastor, how you doing? You know, specifically about my back and some of the physical stuff. And I want you to know that I have had a tremendous week with my back. And I am so grateful to the Lord. Now, I've noticed this week that I still get a little stiff, you know. I get a little stiff and I bend over and I hear some, you know, crickle crackles, you know. But I'll tell you how good I felt. You know, a couple of years ago, I went and got a membership at a place where you throw iron around or work on machines or pull rubber bands or, you know, sit there and watch people wear themselves out on the treadmill who are going nowhere. And I went and I started the workout, and I'll just tell you that the pain in my spine, not like the pain of working out, the pain in my spine, I just couldn't continue. I just could not do it. And some of you say, oh, you know, get tough and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah, whatever. You want to meet me outside later? We'll, you know, we'll give it a shot. just couldn't continue. Then it was some months later that I tried again, and I just could not do it. I went to the gym this last week and worked out. The workout wasn't long, but I don't take long breaks between doing stuff because I want to do this and get out of here. I'll tell you what, God, I believe, has sincerely touched me, and now what he has done, I need to continue to be faithful with. And so, you know, I need to take care of myself, all that, but I want to tell you, God significantly touched me. I have had a fantastic week with my back. I mean, you know, normally to go down and get something, I got to go like this, you know, and do that. I mean, I've been noticing that I'm doing this, you know, and I look forward to, you know, keeping my legs straight and be able to do that, but, you know, it'll take me a little time with the stiffness, and also there's something in the way. So, you know, we got to minimize those things. But I want you to know, I have had a tremendous week, and I want to thank you for your prayers, all of that. And the other thing is, I feel like this last week, mentally, I've been a little sharper. And some of you are saying, well, you can't get any worse. But, you know from that fall that, you know, I've sustained a brain injury from that fall. And I felt like this week I was just a little sharper than I've been. And I, yeah, my wife, yeah. Oh, maybe he can start taking care of himself. Okay, so, listen, I'm doing better up here. It doesn't mean I'm going to remember everything you say. Just want to put the disclaimer out. And Doc, and I'll tell you what, Doc Nichols, who was here, he prayed very interestingly for me. And he just really sensed something happen, and I didn't feel anything. It wasn't like some people's testimony. I just felt the hand of the Lord and the heat come through my body. We were done. I was moved in my desperation before the Lord. And Doc Nichols, you know, he didn't just pray for healing for my back. He came against the effects of trauma. And it was interesting. I've never had anybody pray like that before for me. And it just was, you know, I just believe led by the Spirit, remove the effects of trauma. And I thought, I'm listening to his prayer, and I'm like, well, that's different. And he just came against that and prayed for, you know, cellular healing in my gray matter. And I just want you to know, I've had a great week. And I want to tell you that because I want to testify to the Lord. The other part is this. It's nothing I've done. I have freely received. So those who freely receive, we're supposed to what? Freely give. So every person in this place who has a back issue, I want you to stand up right where you are. Everybody who has a back issue, I want you to stand up right where you are. Freely I have received, and freely I want to give to you. It's from the Lord. It is from Jesus. He is the one that can do this. And so I want to pray for you. And I believe that He will heal you. He will heal you. Some of you might feel something, some of you might not. I didn't. And he asked me, how do you feel? I said, I just believe the Lord's going to do something. I'm going to go on my way. He can heal me on my way. And I stopped having pain. I felt stiff. I felt a little restriction. But, you know, going and working out, not having any pain and feeling good afterwards, and the next day, he touched me because I have not been able to do that prior. I'm feeling good. And I got to continue to move in it and believe in it. And it's my Jesus. And so, I want to give to you. So would you act like you want to receive it? I want you to act like you want to receive it. Don't stand with your hands in your pocket. I want you to stand there like I'm giving you something. He sent it. He sent it, and I'm just going to give it, okay? I want to give it to you. He gave it to me. I want to give it to you. Do you want it from Him? Are you desperate? Are you tired of living life in that pain and discomfort and lack of mobility and just hinders your life? It wears you out. It affects your service towards Him and your alertness. It just exhausts you. I get it. Now receive it. Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. I ask that which you have given unto me, you would give unto them. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal the spine, heal the back, heal the discs. Every tendon, everything involved, the spinal cord, everything, regardless of how it came to them, I know how it will leave. Jesus, touch them in this room. Deliver them of this problem. Give them mobility. Give them faith. Give them faithfulness to follow up. And as they go, they will be healed. And heal some now in this place, right where they stand. Touch their back. Deliver them of the trauma, the difficulty, the accident. Break the curse of a generational thing that has attacked their body and their spine. That it would no longer be degraded and declining. That you would reverse it and bring health and strength back to their bones. Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe and we trust you today. Deliver these people. Deliver them. For the glory of your name. And may they tell people of your touch. And would they teach transgressors your ways. In Jesus' name. I want everybody to say it. Amen. 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 All right, those of you who are standing there, You know, I'm going to let the rest be seated, but just, you know, try something out while you're standing there. I don't know if you got to bend over or sit down or do something or stretch or whatever or twist. Just start doing something while I start this message. You don't have to sit down right away. Try something out. Do something. I don't care if it's touch your toes. You got to get out of your seat. Don't worry about it. You're not going to be a spectacle unless you just start running around this place going, Jesus delivered me. Then we just all want to celebrate with you. So there you have it. Keep me posted. I want to share what the Lord has done for you. So, Luke chapter 5, okay? Luke chapter 5, and we're going to move through some things this morning. We're going to look at a familiar passage to many of you. As I preach and as I do things, if, you know, this morning and share things, if you were one who was prayed for about your back and you just feel something or whatever, and you got to get up and walk around or go out and come back in or whatever, just do what you got to do. Don't fall for the unspoken social proprieties of how you should conduct yourself in a gathering like this, okay? If Jesus touches you and does something, you got to try something out, just go do it. You can come back in, whatever. Take your liberty, all right? There you go. So, Luke chapter 5. Every chapter is interesting, but this one I want to just give you a quick overview. Jesus starts calling his disciples, okay? Starts picking and choosing his disciples. You know, you follow me, come and follow me. And so he's gathering his disciples, and then he cleanses a leper, and then he heals a paralytic and says, get up. And, you know, so this is one of those marvelous chapters, a lot of action, a lot of things going on. And then he comes to a point where he calls Levi, who's a tax collector. And the tax collector says, you know, hey, okay, we're going to have lunch at my place. And so Levi, he hosts this lunch, this meal, and Jesus and his disciples go, and he's now eating with tax collectors, and it says sinners. In other words, other known people in the community who are recognized as sinners. How many of you once were one of those? Yeah, some of you raised your hand. Some of you are here going, hey, I knew them. Yeah, they were. Yeah, you know, all of us. And then it gets to a point where, you know, Jesus has done these things, and the religious leaders are getting together, and they've observed this, and they watch this, and they bring up this question about Jesus and his disciples, and how come they're not fasting? I mean, you know, let's question Jesus about something. Never mind that he just healed a leper. You know, never mind that he just told a paralytic to get up and he got healed instantly and was able to walk. They start questioning him about fasting. It's interesting how, you know, we sometimes, as Christians, we put the sum of godliness into matters that don't matter. Did you get that? We sometimes, a religious part gets this, and we try to make something as if it's the big matter, and it doesn't matter. To insulate ourselves, to look like our form of godliness is acceptable compared to the demonstration of God's power to set somebody free. We don't always like how it's done, or it's outside of our method, or outside of our box, or outside of what we're comfortable with, or outside of what we've seen before. And so we have this initial resistance to it, or the way a person did it or said it or whatever it is, and we try to make that the focus and the matter when it's not really what matters. And so they come and they ask about this fasting here in Luke chapter 5, verse 33. And they said to him, the religious leaders, the disciples of John the Baptist, fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours eat and drink. Now, we have to understand something. In their laws, that they put together, they required that if you are religious and are going to honor God, you have to fast 2 days a week. Now, fasting and prayer should be part of our spiritual life and spiritual disciplines. You know, we went through a 40-day emphasis of fasting earlier this year. And fasting and prayer, it should be part of our life. In fact, here at New Life, we encourage Wednesdays to be our day of fasting and prayer, where we pray some more and we fast something, food or something. And if that day doesn't work for you, you pick another day. Hey, listen, if I get an appointment on my calendar that I got to meet somebody for lunch on a Wednesday, I'm going to go. And if you see me there, you know, I'm eating. Don't get, oh, Pastor called Wednesday. Look at him. He's having a big old sandwich. Well, as I've said before, what are you doing at that restaurant on Wednesday? Anyhow, okay, so I'm just going to have to pick another day that works for that week. That's just the way it is. So I want to encourage you, fast, pray, seek the Lord. Wednesday's a day where we, you know, as a united church that we do that. And if you have to do it on a different day, God bless you. Nobody's throwing stones at you. It's between him and you. I just want you to participate and seek the Lord more. So here they are quizzing about fasting. And Jesus, how come you and your disciples, you guys are eating and drinking? Well, the reality is on this particular day, as it is set, that this was a day, most likely, was one of their fasting days. Where John the Baptist and the Pharisees, their disciples, they fasted. Now, just because John the Baptist's disciples fasted twice a week and the Pharisees and their disciples, they fasted twice a week. It was on the same day. Don't think for one moment that the Pharisees agreed with John the Baptist. The Pharisees were just leveraging. Well, even John, who you speak about, who, you know, even his disciples. So how come you and your disciples? Because, you know, if they can discredit and trap Jesus, then the power of these miracles that he's doing and the gospel of the kingdom that he's preaching, that people are being, you know, transformed by and healed and delivered and learning who God is and being restored to God without all the religious traditions that they have made and put in place with regulations to oppress the people, shutting up the kingdom of heaven for those who are really wanting to get in. Jesus talks about that. And so Jesus, he briefly touches on fasting, but he goes to the heart of the issue as he answers them. And so Jesus, he responds, because, you know, once again, you know, they say, but your disciples, you guys eat and drink. Well, you have to remember, they use John as an example, but when John would fast, okay, this is where the religious people start talking out of two sides of their mouth, is, you know, they kind of basically cursed John the Baptist and thought he had a demon because he didn't eat and he would fast and he was out there in the wilderness. And Jesus comes and him and his disciples are eating and drinking, and now they're, you know, criticizing him. They say, hey, you're a glutton and a drunkard. You see, religious people, it doesn't matter what you do, you are condemned if you do and condemned if you don't. I had to use the full word there so that you wouldn't get mad and leave. You know what phrase I'm talking about. And Jesus replies. He says to them, can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast in those days. See, you know, I've got this wedding coming up in June. I'm talking to you. Quit staring at your nephew. I know he's cuter than me, but I'm talking about you. You know, he came, begged for her hand. I give blessing. He finally gives her the ring. She says yes. They make plans. And as I know this is coming, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, the practical part, you know, apart from the sentiment part, I'm, you know, okay, another wedding. Last daughter getting married. Come on, Jesus, you provided for the first two. Come on, Jesus. So I'm thinking, okay, wedding, they're going to have a reception. I want the guests to come. And I want them to come and I want them to eat and have a nice time. I mean, who wants to go to a wedding? Jesus is saying this. Who wants to go to a wedding where, hey, thanks for coming, and they don't give you a lick of food or nothing to drink? Who wants to go to that wedding? I don't know, maybe we should try it this June. All in favor? Okay, whatever, all right. No, right away I'm thinking, hey, we got to provide a meal. We want to take care of the guests who are going to be there. You know, this is what we want to do. This, you know, we want to focus on the heftier part of this expense, and we want to make it nice for people. I know it's, we call it their day, but it's the guests. And Jesus is saying, listen, why should they fast? I mean, who wants to go to their wedding and fast? No, it's a celebration. And Jesus is saying, listen, the bridegroom is with them. Why should they fast? This is a celebration. This is the time for them to embrace and celebrate that the Christ has come and he is with them. You have to remember who Jesus called. You know, he called fishermen and tax collectors and sinners and not religious people. There's a reason. The religious people were not going to receive Jesus and what he was bringing. It conflicted with their old system. But these fishermen, tax collectors, sinners, he chose them. They said yes to follow him. I mean, you have to understand, they're just getting to know him while this stuff is going on. I mean, they're just barely with him. I mean, how would it be? I am so thankful for the kindness, the grace, the mercy, the thoughtfulness of God for individuals, for us. You see, we as a church, somebody gives their life to Christ, and we want them cleaned up pretty quick. We want them living holy pretty quick because they represent Jesus. Well, we say that, but what we're really concerned about is that they represent the church we attend. And that you are associated with them. And if they're not living holy right away, that's a bad testimony of the church and it's going to reflect on you. Let's get real. We get concerned about that. Jesus, he just says, hey guys, follow me. And he's picked the, you know, really not religious guys. Guys tangled up in sin and life and whatever, you know. I look at them and I think, you know, most of them are kind of a blue collar crowd. Not all of them, you know, just men in the community. How would it be if Jesus called them and said, "Okay, thanks for agreeing to join me, and now here's the list of rules." I am so thankful that he understands how much burden we can carry at the beginning of our relationship with him. If he would have right away said, okay, guys, here's the deal. You're going to fast twice a week, no food, no nothing. You're going to follow me, and this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to do. Do you know potentially how quickly they would have said, hey, thanks for the invite. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't become that. I can't live like that. Why do you think they weren't included in the religious community? All these burdens and regulations and everything else that was put upon them, they could never live up underneath that. I am so thankful for God, for his kindness, his understanding, that he knows what we can bear in the way of transformation and growth and how quickly. And that he helps us do it. And that it's not just our own strength, but his Holy Spirit comes and strengthens us to be transformed and be changed. You see, new converts or newer people into the faith or a sincere faith or a point where they said, Jesus somehow become personal to me. I've gone to church for a long time, but something's happened. And it's new for them. And the Lord just moves us along, and he helps us, and he cleans us as we go, and he kind of tackle one thing at a time. I mean, we're already forgiven, and he just begins to disciple us and watch over us and convict us and instruct us and pick us up and all of that, instead of laying down, hey, you're a new believer, thank you, now you have to fast twice a week. See, nothing wrong with fasting, but the point that Jesus is about to make is that the new that he's bringing, you can't just slap on with the old system, because the two are so opposite that we have to let go of the old and embrace the new. And let's face it, we don't all like change. As we get older, we have more history. We've got to unlearn some things. We've got to let go of some things. Now, here's the thing. Our past, no, it's not without flaw. But our past, I'm thankful for our history, even though it's not all beautiful. But it's this, is that our past, your history, has got you to this point right here today. So we respect the past. We have an appreciation for it. But we have to let it go to embrace the new of what Christ wants to do. And I'm not talking about just new converts here. I'm talking about the established church, those who also have been believers for a long time. We get uncomfortable with change. You see, it's like we get to a point where, hey, praise the Lord, I know it's Him, but I've gained a lot of ground in my life, and things are pretty good right now. I don't want to put anything at risk. This is comfortable. I got a pretty good reputation. I do some spiritual things. I appear to be, I think, to people somewhat like I'm fairly holy and following Jesus and, you know, all of that. And you want to take all your spiritual, you know, resource, and now you want to take it out of aggressive growth and put it in blue chip. If you understand investments, you know what I'm talking about. When we're young and 20-something, it's like, just pour everything I got into, an aggressive account because I got to grow some money. As you start to get older, you say, hey, I've gained some wealth. I've done this. I've talked with a lot of businessmen and about investments, about venture, capitalist money, et cetera, and what do they do? And I've had guys do this who've gotten old. They said, I don't have the stomach for that anymore. I don't want to do anything new. I want to take what I've gotten to this point and now move it, be conservative, and just protect it. And I think in finances, there's great wisdom in that. But when it comes to the kingdom of God and spiritually, I do not want to miss out what God is doing new and fresh. I'm thankful for the past that got me to this point. But we can't ride on past laurels when God's about to do something new. And this is the point that he's bringing to these Pharisees. He touched quickly and said, they don't need to fast. The bridegroom's with them. Now he goes in and he transitions to get to the point. The point is not fasting. The point is that you're burdening people and you have regulation and you're under an old system that is not working. And it's not the will of God. And Jesus is bringing the will of God and he's bringing something new. And he's not saying add it to the old. He's saying you've got to let go and step into what is new. And they weren't interested in that. And that is why Jesus didn't call any of them to be his disciples, his original 12. Jesus answers, and he goes on and he says this parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment, a patch. New garment. No one does that and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. In other words, you take this new piece of material, put it on some old fabric, you can stitch it on there, and it can look okay. But as soon as that patch gets wet and dries, right? It begins to shrink and pull away from the old fabric. And now the tear, the hole, is worse. It's ruined. I love that Jesus gave this example. He's saying you can't take the new and just slap it on the old. You religious leaders, you need to let go of this stuff. And you're not receiving it, so I'm going to bring the new to someone else who can learn this, embrace it, and walk in the new. And it's going to transform their outward conduct. In other words, you see what these disciples are now. You wait till they embrace the new and how they're going to conduct themselves outwardly from this point on. And if you were to look at them then, compared to the book of Acts, they're different boys. The seed of the gospel of the kingdom was left in them to carry it around the world. And you and I get the privilege of being over here in this part of the world through all this time and have the gospel. Because he left it with 11 men. He talks about the patch. It's an outward reference. Now he goes to an inward reference. He says this, "And no one puts new wine into an old wine